Hey everybody, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you are having a great day, great night, wherever you are watching or listening in from. Back at it again, and sorry for a little bit of a delay in content in the past week or so. I was actually out in Malta for a conference and kind of like a two-day vacation as well, to sit by the pool and beach there and hang out on what is trying to be Blockchain Island. So I want to touch on that. Also want to touch on Bitcoin's volatility or lack thereof in the past really month, 2 months, 3 months. It has been a kind of a quiet show in Bitcoin as of late. So I want to touch on that. And also taking some of, I think, the kind of maybe bullish news or bullish indicators with a grain of salt. There's one tweet, I think, in particular that is getting a ton of traction. I think a lot of people are pushing some bullish narratives recently, which is great. A lot of good things happening in the space right now, but I also do think that it is always good to look at the counter argument of things and take things with a grain of salt. So we will do all that and more in today's episode. Before we get into today's episode, I want to talk to you guys about my friends over at Finn. I used to look at my calendar in the morning and think, really, there's no way I'm ever going to get this stuff done. Between the full-time job at AirSwap and Fluidity and the YouTube channel and the podcast, I have a ton of emails, a ton of tasks that I need to get done in the day, and there's just not enough time between it. And that's when I started using Finn as my personal assistant. And the reason I really like it is because you can select the tasks that you need help with. And whether it's scheduling meetings or handling travel plans associated with attending conferences, I've used Finn for a number of different tasks. And the best part about it for me is that, I would love to have an assistant, but I obviously couldn't afford a full-time assistant. And that's where Finn is, helpful on a one-off basis whenever I need it, at the exact time that I need it. And I've enjoyed Finn so much, and it's helped me so much that I've worked with them and I've arranged for them to help you try Finn out for free. Just use my link, fin.com/Bobby. That's fin.com/Bobby to try Finn out for free. fin.com/Bobby. Let's get into today's episode. Hopping into it, like I said before, I was out in Malta for the Delta Summit, moderated a panel with a few different people from a couple different exchanges, and Nicholas Merton from DataDash. Shout out to Nicholas Merton. Had a chance to hang out with him, DataDash, on a few separate occasions. Really great kid. And when I say kid, he's so young, but has a great head on his shoulders and obviously super successful with his YouTube channel, but really awesome dude. So I enjoyed getting a chance to meet him and got a chance to do a couple different, like, really pretty interesting things in Malta. Went to the presidential palace. Binance had an event there. And I think just really high level, summing up the little bit of a Malta experience. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen that Binance is moving some or part of their business to Malta, and Malta is now pushing. The prime minister was at the conference, pushing the, blockchain island. They're trying to brand themselves as Blockchain Island, pushing this narrative, as well as Binance had an event at the presidential palace where the president of Malta spoke, which was, pretty cool. To actually participate, somebody like myself, just even being there at a cocktail hour, that was, I thought, pretty sweet. But I think a couple different positives and negatives to it. I think some people are thinking, hey, it's really innovative, it's really interesting. Had a chance to talk to some lawyers there, some people that were starting exchanges in Europe or had exchanges in Europe. Some people, were evaluating Malta as a potential jurisdiction to launch their business. Other people are somewhat skeptical, thinking it might be like a temporary solution and not necessarily a long-term thing. I mean, it's an island of 400,000 people. Is it really going to kind of matter when maybe a larger jurisdiction out there does much of anything? Who knows? But was interesting to see some of the reaction. The one thing I would say is that there's a pretty high concentration of people, I think, just interested in crypto or blockchain in the space. I think like the conference itself, I don't know if it was because it was the first conference in Malta or the first big conference in Malta, or because Binance was there and CZ from Binance was speaking, or the prime minister, or whatever it was. But it was actually the Delta Summit out there was probably one of the more well-attended conferences I've seen in the past 6 months. There's been a lot of empty conferences in the US in the past 6 months. So Delta Summit was it was packed. It was standing room only. So that was good to see at least the interest internationally there. But outside of that, I mean, just looking at the market as a whole recently, you could see today, and this is one of the bigger moves we've seen with Bitcoin, with 1.2% 24-hour change versus versus the USD. in the past 24 hours. And there was a really good tweet thread that I will link to. And this is from Reptar45 or RPTR45. And he had a whole tweet thread in regards to really the volatility since August 8th and then on a couple different periods. But this is really August 8th since Bitcoin is basically unchanged since that period of time. There has been almost little to no movement since then. And if we go and see, granted, we're only on October 8th right now, but the actual daily volatility by month of Bitcoin right now in October of 2018, we are at 0.74% daily volatility by month. That is the first time ever in Bitcoin's history since 2012, at least. But I would assume it was statistics and a lot of that stuff less than 2011 are not super accurate and also incredibly volatile as well. But since 2012, there has never been a month there's never been a month-long period where the daily volatility was under 1%. So if we stay where we are right now with Bitcoin, it is basically joking. A lot of people joking around that Bitcoin is basically a stable coin right now, or has been a stable coin in the month of October. And that's true. I mean, it's been ranging within 1% on a daily basis, under a percent, under 0.75% actually. So it's been pretty crazy to watch when you've considered in 2018, there were months where the daily volatility was 6%. In January, the daily volatility of Bitcoin was 6%. In February, it was 7%. I mean, there have been multiple times in December of 2017, the daily volatility of Bitcoin was over 8%. And now we are less than 1%. So a couple different things. I mean, that means to me is the less volatile Bitcoin is, I think the less interest it generates, just for the, not necessarily for the most part, but there are a lot of degenerates out there, myself included, when it comes to, you know, trading Bitcoin, buying and selling. And the less volatile is, you know, the less headlines that is, you know, the less headlines that are generated, the less people sometimes that get interested in it. So you're looking at that, and it's also leading to a slightly interesting trend right now, I think, where we're starting to see some altcoins that have bottomed out over the month of September that are making nice moves on a early on a daily basis and making some nice little runs of, you know, 10, 20, 50, sometimes over 100% in the past, you know, in the past month or so. And we can pull that up on on-chain FX here. In the past day, you can see Bitcoin 24 hours, you know, up about 1%, basically everything else in that range as well. But you have something like Maker up 25% today, Einsteinium, which I don't really, who the hell knows, but Einsteinium up like 20%. But if we go to the 30-day, so 90 days, you know, a lot of things are still down. There's only out of on-chain FX, out of the 100 plus crypto assets, about 110 crypto assets, there are only 5 crypto assets that are in the green over the past 90 days. But if we pop that down to include the 30-day change versus USD here, there are quite a number of crypto assets that have done pretty well in the past 30 days. You have XRP, the standard, obviously, which has pulled back in the past 7 days after Swell, down 15% as always. By the lead up to the conference, sell the actual conference. Could have told you that was going to happen. Did tell you that was going to happen. XRP is down 15% since Swell. Shocker. I'm shocked. Nobody's shocked. But yeah, there's been a lot of nice positive moves in the past 30 days. And I do think part of that is because there are a good number of people that have money in Bitcoin or have money in crypto assets, but, you know, concentrated at the top towards Bitcoin, and you're not seeing the volatility there. So you're looking to put that money to use elsewhere and kind of bouncing around these altcoins one by one by one. So I do think that right now, you know, there is something to be said about looking for decent plays in these altcoins that are just ridiculously bottomed out. And have shown some sideways consolidation for quite a period of time and might be primed to have somewhat of a move upwards. And that's kind of what I've been doing over the past few weeks, is checking some of that out there as well. And one thing I would also say too, and this is a tweet from Ron Neuner, CNBC Africa, who I've met in person a number of times, been on a show, like him a lot, nice guy. And so he had a tweet, and this went pretty viral, you know, 1.4 thousand likes, hundreds of retweets and everything like that. So talking about last week, you know, summing up last week, Yale, one of the biggest endowments, is getting into crypto. Gemini gets insurance on crypto assets. TD Ameritrade is all in on crypto. And the SEC files for a rule change required for ETFs. And none of this moved the market, really specifically Bitcoin. And if you know all this and you're not accumulating, I give up. Now, I do think that there are, you know, some certain elements of truth to this. This was something that, you know, these points are definitely valid. But I do think that there's certain caveats with every point that you have to take with a grain of salt. For example, Yale is getting into crypto through the investment into a crypto fund or a crypto venture fund, essentially, that is founded by Fred Ersham, the former co-founder of Coinbase, as well as a couple other prominent venture capitalists that worked at large firms. Yes, Yale is basically the absolute leader in terms of endowments in the United States. What Yale does, I think Ari Paul had previously joked at one point in time, Ari Paul joked, when will the University of Chicago endowment get into Bitcoin? And he said 6 months after Yale does. Yes, that is true, but it's not like Yale is going to be going out and market buying Bitcoin on an exchange. They are investing in a venture fund that, you know, might be investing into certain crypto assets, but they, you know, also might be making pre-seed or seed investments into, you know, different crypto projects that you're not going to have access to for 6 months, year, beyond, whatever. So it's not like they're going out there and just market buying crypto and it's going to pump the price of crypto. Yes, it's a good thing and not a bad thing, but it's not necessarily like, holy crap, this is going to pump the market. And to that point as well, Gemini gets insurance on crypto. That's fantastic. The Winklevi are making moves, I think. But it's not, I believe it is not all crypto assets. It is hot wallets specifically. And when it comes to Coinbase and Gemini, I think they cover about 2% of their crypto assets are actually in hot wallets, and like the other 97, 98% are kept in cold storage. So from what I've spoken to, and I asked a couple people that are crypto fund managers, hey, does this actually mean anything? Like, because we always hear about custody and insurance are huge. So if you hear Gemini gets insurance, that has to be massive, right? Well, according to some of the fund managers out there, they said not necessarily. It's likely only these hot wallets, as well as the actual insurance can vary greatly depending. You have to look at it on an individual basis. So, without seeing the full details of the insurance, it's not like you're going to be fully insured for everything off the top. But overall, it's a very positive sign for the industry, but it isn't necessarily as simplistic and as easy as that. And then going to the SEC filing for a rule change required for an ETF, yes, that's great. And, you know, that might apply to crypto asset ETFs, but it also might just be the SEC trying to make things simpler and not, you know, specifically in regards to crypto assets and the Bitcoin ETF or anything else like that. So I do think while, you know, there are a lot of people are talking about these fantastic narratives that are happening right now, whether it's, you know, Gemini's insurance or Yale or, you know, a lot of other things, I think there are very positive trends in the industry, is you always have to take them with a grain of salt and look at, you know, what else might be happening or some of the other elements to things, and not get incredibly carried away and say, you know, hey, this is all happening and the price isn't moving. I'm feeling so incredibly bullish. As we know in the industry, and as anybody who's invested in this stuff at any point in time, logic does not always apply, and good news might not necessarily mean anything, might actually cause a sell-off and some ridiculous rumor that may or may not have any effect on, or may not have any effect on the price whatsoever, might cause a massive pump. And then the second that it actualizes, you're going to see a sell-off. So I do think that, as always, it's important to kind of keep your head balanced and make sure that, you know, while you might be seeing bullish news, it's not necessarily going to be positive correlation with the price action. So something to think about, at least in my opinion and kind of what I'm looking at right now. But overall, this type of the market as a whole right now, like I said before, not seeing much movement, if any, in Bitcoin. Incredibly low volatility, pretty low volume across the board. Some small selective altcoin pumps going on here and there. Got to do some research, evaluate some opportunities, because I do think people are finding opportunities out there. You are seeing 10, 20, 30, 50, 100% pumps in some random coins here and there. But You're not going to find them if you're not really looking and doing the research and trying to find some of those bottomed out coins that you might be able to take advantage of in the meantime. But outside of that, guys, I will be back with more content this week. Sorry for the break in Malta. I do apologize about that, but the internet was just really not sustainable enough to do anything with whatsoever from a YouTube live or from a upload perspective. Would have taken me forever. Hope you guys enjoyed this video. If you enjoyed it, hit that thumbs up button. If you are not subscribed, hit the subscribe button, the notify bell. Thank you so much for your time, Crypto Bobby. Hope you have a good one. Signing out. Peace.